Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting the film series Testigo Witness, Goya in the Movies. Held on select Fridays in May, each film touches upon artist Francisco de Goya's visions of the world, kicking off with Pan's Labyrinth by Guillermo del Toro on May 10th at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a spring super sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Back with Air Talk on KPCC, I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle. Well, starting this week, two LA journalists are hosting an event series about one neighborhood, East Hollywood, and highlighting the interconnected effects that immigration, gentrification, and racist housing policies have had on the community there. The first event is called Past Redlining, Internment, and Resilience, and it's taking place tomorrow, Thursday, March 4th at 6 p.m. And here with me are the folks behind this series. Samantha Helu Hernandez is here, multimedia journalist and photographer who covers culture, identity, and social issues in Los Angeles. She is behind the visual archive This Side of Hoover, which I really recommend checking out, which documents gentrification and resilience along the East Hollywood Silver Lake border. And you can follow Sam on Twitter at Samantha Helu, H-E-L-O-U. And also with me is Jimmy Racinos, editor-in-chief of JimboTimes.com and host of JT, the LA Storyteller podcast. And he tweets at Jimbo_Times. First of all, Samantha, I'll start with you. Tell me what has drawn you to this work of documenting gentrification.
Hi, Libby. Thank you for having me. It really started in 2017. I actually experienced a cash for keys situation in the apartment that I was living in the neighborhood. And I saw the way that, you know, Latino families in that building ended up leaving. And around me, I started noticing these really drastic changes that started happening. And as a journalist, I really thought about, you know, how can I use my resources to talk about these issues of this gentrification and displacement that's happening? So that really led me to start the Instagram account, This Side of Hoover, to trace these changing landscapes and to also record the legacies of people that have lived here. And that eventually led me to Jimmy, who, you know, is a lifelong resident and has also been doing this work on his website as well.
And Jimmy, I want to get to the specific event that you guys are kicking off tomorrow evening. But first of all, can you talk to me about the ways that redlining and these racist practices and housing policy have really shaped Los Angeles as a whole, but also specifically East Hollywood?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for having us today. And certainly for myself, going through this neighborhood, which is a working class neighborhood where almost 90% of people are renters in the area, where you've got a lot of small businesses, including Latinx businesses, Filipino businesses, Armenian businesses, and more, you see a lot of grit, a lot of integrity, a lot of hustle. And so for me, back in 2014, when I started JimboTimes.com, the big idea was, how can we lend attention to these communities, especially as LA is growing, especially as LA is turning a new page, so to speak. And so I sort of got started on this process of discovery where I just found myself looking at histories of the neighborhood, wherever I could find them, whether it was on the LA Times or whether it was at the LA Public Library. And then eventually I came to learn that the neighborhood was at some point redlined in the early 1940s, just a couple of years before World War II. And just to be sure, redlining was a process in which the federal government and real estate appraisers for the federal government looked at areas in cities like Los Angeles and decided which areas were desirable for investment and which areas were not desirable. And the real sort of kick here is that they did this on the racial makeup of areas. So areas that were homogeneously white, that is to say totally white, received investment and were desirable, whereas areas that were populated by small portions of immigrant or African-American residents, those were officially labeled undesirable. Hence, why you had wealth accumulate over the course of decades in certain areas of Los Angeles, while others, like East Hollywood today, are still made up of about 90% renters, a lot of whom are increasingly insecure about housing in this area, certainly with the next year going forward.
And Samantha, I think I read on your Instagram post about the housing covenants in a neighborhood just as close as Los Feliz, just a few blocks north of the East Hollywood area, and a few blocks east, where basically people of color were not able to live there. Is that sort of contributing to the differences that we see, especially between areas like Virgil Village, which you are really great at reporting on, and Silver Lake, Los Feliz, you know, these places?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Los Feliz had very strong racially restrictive covenants, which meant that Black people and non-whites were not allowed to live there. So what this created, along with redlining, is that multi-ethnic communities were created, right? So out of these exclusionary racist practices also came about, you know, these multi-ethnic communities that managed to survive and thrive despite these policies. And one of those communities is East Hollywood. And we still see the legacies of that, right? It's an incredibly multi-ethnic and multiracial community. And it's been like that for decades because it was a place where immigrants and Black people could live. There weren't really that many racially restrictive covenants there. So it became sort of a safe place. While at the same time, a lot of the people that live there were workers that, you know, as particularly the Japanese Americans and Japanese immigrants, they were gardeners that often, you know, went up to Los Feliz or neighboring Hollywood to work for wealthier white families in places where they were not allowed to live.
Yeah. And I want to talk about this really wonderful series that you guys are launching tomorrow. It is called Past Redlining, Internment and Resilience. That's the first event in the series. And it's starting tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And people can go on our page, kpcc.org. The AirTalk page will share how to log in and register for that event and hear more about it from Samantha Helu Hernandez of This Side of Hoover, and Jimmy Racinos, the editor-in-chief of Jimbo Times, coming back in just a minute here on Air Talk. Back with Air Talk, Libby Denkman here with Jimmy Racinos and Samantha Helu Hernandez. Jimmy, the panel that's happening tomorrow at 6 o'clock is going to discuss this inter-ethnic solidarity in Virgil Village and East Hollywood, and it involves Black and Japanese families, as Samantha was just talking about. Tell me about the Albright and Marshall family and the Hoshizakis and the conversation that you guys are planning tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. Those are lifelong elders in our community, and again, going back to the process of discovery, sort of in 2018, I come across deed restrictions, the actual text that we referenced just earlier from Los Feliz, right? And I saw this language describing areas like East Hollywood with terms like racially subversive elements, blight, and so on and so forth. And certainly for me, in the area today, it really struck me that there were higher populations of Japanese Americans, as well as African Americans. And so when Samantha and I got together and discussed how we could explore this series further, we ended up receiving a lot of support in terms of resources, including links to people that were lifelong members of the community here. So we met the Albright family, as well as the Hoshizaki family. And tomorrow night, we're gonna talk about neighborhood, what makes a neighborhood, what made their neighborhood pre-World War II and also during World War II, and what makes the neighborhood today, the similarities and differences just as well. We've got a really critical discussion and also heartwarming discussion that we've outlined for attendees. And so we're very excited about tomorrow night, which is almost at capacity actually, but which we are also providing a YouTube live stream for if anyone is unable to make it in, since our Zoom panel only supports about 500 attendees thus far, and we're just at the cusp of reaching 500 attendees now.
That's great news that you guys are reaching that point. And I hope we can also share the YouTube link with everybody so that we can be in the overflow crowd. Samantha Helu Hernandez, I think that so often, you know, the engagement with communities like this, when it comes to especially journalists coming in from outside to try to tell people's stories, it is like a helicopter situation, or, you know, people just not really getting what makes a community tick. And you guys have really been on the ground here and doing amazing engagement to connect community members, including people that maybe don't speak English or English is not the most comfortable language for them. Tell me what kinds of things you guys are doing to get the community involved.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, planning for this series, accessibility was a huge, huge, you know, theme for us. And I think, like you said, as a journalist, I think about that a lot. I think about who my articles reach and if they're reaching the people that, you know, are affected the most by these topics. And, you know, looking at things like redlining, like gentrification, and the links between those and how those affect our lived environment today, you know, sometimes the people most affected might not be reached. So we really wanted to figure out a way to inform people about redlining, about gentrification, about housing, and how that affects people in a way where we are coming to them. You know, we're meeting people where they are. So we actually collaborated with the Anti-Eviction Mapping Project on pamphlets that are kind of like a redlining and gentrification 101. You know, we go through a timeline of redlining, of discriminatory practices. We explain what gentrification looks like and that how that affects homelessness, how that affects renters. And we created these really beautiful pamphlets that then we had translated into 5 languages. So right now we have English, Spanish, Tagalog, Armenian, and Thai pamphlets that we've gone around to different legacy businesses in East Hollywood and dropped them off, you know, depending on what languages are spoken at that business or in that area. So we're really meeting people where they are and trying to reach out to them. So even if they can't attend our panel, at least they have this piece where they can think about these issues and be a little bit more connected to their neighborhood and how these histories affect them.
And in that way, it's not such an extractive process like so much journalism can be, you know, coming into a neighborhood and then telling that story to white audiences. We have about a minute left here, Jimmy. Just really quickly, can you tell me how people can watch and the ways to follow you guys?
Absolutely. Please go to easthollywood.eventbrite.com. You can register for all 3 panels. We do recommend registering for all 3 panels before we reach capacity. And if you are unable to make it, again, our YouTube link is right there at easthollywood.eventbrite.com. So go and check those out ASAP. You can follow me on Twitter at Jimbo_Times. And you can follow Samantha Helou Hernandez on Twitter at Samantha_Helou.
Thanks, guys. Samantha Helou Hernandez of This Side of Hoover, Jimmy Racinos, author and editor-in-chief, that is, at Jimbo Times. I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle. We'll also link a registration link and that YouTube link on our show page if you didn't get a chance to write that down. I really encourage everybody turning out for the series. Thanks again for listening to Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.